Welcome to New Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on cybersecurity and the local Colorado economy, focused on cybersecurity industry growth and initiatives that support cybersecurity economics. We hope this special series on blockchain builds your excitement for a possible future which empowers individual privacy. Please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check out privacyforthepeople.org to see the upcoming crowdfunding campaign. Now sit back and enjoy as we introduce our great guest for today's show.
Welcome to the New Cyber Frontier. I'm Dr. Juan Tuzar. We have a special guest today, Ms. Cherie Pitt. She is a blockchain development advisor, and her expertise is in legal and blockchain development, blockchain technology. She's previously an attorney and an academic, and focused her research in blockchain technology, thereby launching the first ICO in Australia. Cherie, can you tell us about your background?
Hi, Luna. Thanks for having me. Sure. So I guess it's a bit of a journey for me. So initially, my background's in law, and I started off as an academic when I first graduated, and also worked as a lawyer. And along the way, I was doing my PhD research, and I came across cryptocurrencies. So back then, Bitcoin, not everyone really knew about it. And it's a very interesting topic that kind of like came along to me. And what I was really interested in is the technology behind it, which is called blockchain technology. So fast forward today, there's a massive industry which I'm involved in. Everything I do is basically with this technology. And it applies to anything and everything and makes everything so much more efficient. So back then I was doing my research, and then along the way I met a lot of companies and startups and teams who are in the development space, and they were building a lot of these platforms utilizing this technology. And from there, I guess I kind of met the right people on the way, and we did Australia's first ICO, raising $34 million. And in the last couple of years, we've just seen it kind of take over Australia as well. So I think Australia is a little bit later to the rest of the world with understanding and utilizing blockchain technology. But now we're at a point that, we're working with the government to develop the regulations to make sure it works for all the people in the community involved.
Well, thank you. Next, I'd like to ask, what employment experiences have shaped your business's core values or your personal values?
There's actually been a lot, but I have to say throughout all this journey, the biggest thing for me is the team. Like, I can't say hands down enough, it's the people you work with. And when I'm hiring people, for me, it's not about all just your experience, what you've got on paper. It's about when it comes down to it, like, and I'm going to be able to rely on you. Are you, you know, open to learn? The biggest thing I have to say is if someone's hardworking and open to learning, then, you know, I can get you to learn whatever you need, do whatever, you'll be, you know, fine for the rest of your life because you have these two core skills and you're a team player. Like, I can't stress that enough. That's a really big thing. The other thing I would say is expertise, especially if you're working in a space where it's emerging technologies, is because, if you're developing a platform software that, yes, it can do, for example, let's say the medical space, you're developing a platform that revolutionizes how, you know, electronic healthcare records are done today. They're more secure, they're faster. And let's say you can now own all the rights to your medical records on your smartphone and only let the hospital, whoever doctors need to use it, when they come see you. So that way you're the one in charge of it, you're taking care of it, loaning it out for a certain point in time and then bring it back in. So everything's held by you. If you can do that and develop this platform, it's fantastic. It's great. It solves all, you know, a lot of the world's problems. Like, imagine going to see your specialist, GP, a doctor in surgery. Like, you have all the right records. You don't need to wait for them to collate it for you. And security is a big thing as well. But then the problem is that if you're just working with a team of developers, you have this amazing software, but no one is from the medical industry or has that expertise. You know, you're kind of in a jam because guess what? When it comes to medical work, there's medical boards, there's ethics approval, there's compliance. Like, did you build a platform where, you know, your data transfer complies with the state and federal regulations? And if you're, you know, allowing it to be in multiple states, then what about the differences in each of those state laws? So this is where I've come in because my background's in legal. So I've done a lot of this groundwork.
And Cherie, I want you to hold that thought right there. And we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors.
No problem.
We'll be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Let's pick up where we left off. It's a pleasure to have you. And again, listening audiences, this is Ms. Cherie Ip, and she's in the business of blockchain advising. Cherie, we were just responding to your personal values and core values and those employment experiences that have shaped them. Let's continue.
Yeah, so I think the first one I mentioned was the team, expertise, and yeah, I think those are the two key ones for me that I've learnt, you know, throughout my journey, is that they're integral to making, you know, startup a business work, especially when it's all hands on deck. You just need people who can, you know, put on all hats. I think for me, I've basically done every position in a company, from marketing, obviously legal, the development side, project managing, events, public facing in terms of PR as well. I think there's probably no area I haven't done at this point. Yeah, it's just being able to have all those, you know, all those skills under one hat is, you know, absolute necessity. And having a team that can do these things as well is just as important and amazing.
Phenomenal. Describe some of the benefits of serving your particular market niche.
Yeah, for me, I'm in a very, I guess, interesting, lucky position because of my background. When I first started looking into how, you know, cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology can work and apply from a legal standpoint, it's really kind of rolled over into the projects I've worked with and the development side of things to now that I'm working on a non-for-profit board called Blockchain Australia. And what we actually do for our members is we're advocating with the Australian government on certain areas and topics to make sure the regulations are right and pave the right way for all the residents in Australia. Because what happened initially when, I think back in 2014-15, when cryptocurrencies became a thing that was more in mainstream media, we got some regulations that weren't very favourable. Basically, it put anyone who was dealing in business in a position where they were hit by double tax from the government. So what we eventually did was step in and able to, you know, navigate that and finally get that amended, I think last year it was, and get a bill passed. And now the government, you know, working with us, they're reaching out to us and members and industry and the community to say, hey, we're going to do put in this law. What are your thoughts? And, you know, what do you think can happen moving forward? So we just had a call the other week, a 2-hour long call with like 30 odd people and people from office of the Australian government, just having these conversations with them. And they got a lot of out of it. We also got a lot out of it because we're able to say, well, we know they're looking at this. However, they're looking at this area, which, you know, they're probably wasting their time on, and they're able to see, okay, so the real area we should be, and the issue we should be addressing is this area over there. So it really helps, you know, a really far long way to be doing these type of efforts.
Mm-hmm. So in summary, your work on a nonprofit board called Blockchain Australia
yep.
has served a role in helping the government with its policy development prior to passing laws to help prevent circumstances like double taxation, which has been experienced in the past. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, completely. And because we've seen a lot of, like, for me, it's like looking at it in a bigger picture. Because, like, you know, we don't have these conversations. The first time the legislation was passed, you saw companies being shut down. A lot of these guys, like, they, you know, developed this technology, they quit their day job, put their life savings in it, and suddenly they now have this technology they can't use. Other companies that did have the money, they went offshore. So that means no tax for Australian government, no jobs created. So you're looking at that trickle-down effect of the ecosystem, as well as things like, you know, the up-and-coming generation, like, you know, it's opening new doors, new avenue, opportunities for them. So, you know, it's these type of decision kind of like, you know, affect the ecosystem as a whole. And by keeping it in Australia and making sure it works for both parties, it goes a really long way.
Mm-hmm. When you use the term ecosystem, I automatically thought about what sustainability goals you may have in your role.
For me, that's a really big thing because I think I don't know how much everyone's aware of, I think when it comes to Bitcoin and all this other cryptocurrency, there's a huge, a lot of computing power that goes into it. And, you know, I think the sustainability point a lot of people look at is like, oh, you know, the actual algorithm and the computing power is like, you know, phenomenal, like that's just not worth the time. But what we've seen in the industry is that since then, like there's been newer technology developed which addresses all those issues. And the key thing about blockchain technology, all it is one big database that's, you know, put into chronological order so that no one can kind of like cheat this database system. Because when you have a central database and only that central party can use it, everyone can start changing those records who have access. So the main premise behind blockchain technology is it's decentralized so that everyone can see the transactions that are occurring online when they go visit each, depends whichever node you're going to have a look at, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, there's all these different ones, and you can see transactions happening. So therefore it becomes much harder to cheat because each of the, you know, the blocks that go into the, that make up the blockchain have a hash of like the history before it. So because of that, it becomes much harder to cheat when everything is like pages in a book. So you've got page 1 to 100. If I take out 50 pages, you're going to read the ending. It's not going to make sense. So this is the same kind of premise that's applied, analogy that applies to blockchain technology. So it solves a lot of problems. For example, there were some cases back in Australia a few years ago where banks were actually conveniently losing documents like superannuation documents, and then you've got people who are now, you know, 70, 80, they're like, okay, so I had this agreement with you, and they're like, oh well, that doesn't exist anymore. But if that document were to be put onto the blockchain at a certain point in time and no one can change it, suddenly what happens is, you know, everyone's an honest person in the system. So it's these type of when you think sustainability, this is what I think about what it can do to change the ecosystem for the better.
Wow. With that said, you touched on business ethics. So tell me what quality should someone in this industry possess with that in mind?
Yeah, very, very transparent and honesty is a big thing, I have to say, because unfortunately, for this industry, because it's been emerging and up and coming, there hasn't been a lot of regulations. What we saw early on in 2014, 15 is a lot of people treat it like the Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. I guess if you want to look at it from the point of view of Uber and them disrupting the taxi industry, Uber was able to get away with a lot of things because they had the consumer base. For all of us, for example, in Australia, we're charging for a 15-minute ride, $80. I look back at that now, I'm like, that was insane. But we would pay that because there's no other choice. And then now you look at it, it's $15 for that same distance. And because they have this support, they're able to act kind of like outside of the law. I mean, obviously regulations coming in that a lot of that is changing. But that was the same mentality, except applied to blockchain and the cryptocurrency industry, if you like. So there was a lot of people who weren't honest raised a lot of money, and then that money disappeared into thin air, and they shut down the business. Like, they did a lot of honest things. So I think for this industry, business ethics is absolutely key to have honesty and transparency. And I think another one is leadership, the right leaders, leaders who aren't afraid to get out there and be in front of it. It's a very interesting industry because anyone who has a company is expected that the leader, the CEO, or the person doing PR for the company is communicating with the community all the time. For example, Telegram is actually one of the core applications for talking with the team members. There, you're expected as a part of a blockchain company to actively be talking on Twitter, Facebook, Telegram, and Telegram groups of like about, you know, 13,000, 20,000 is what you see. It's one of the main key methods of it. So it's not like picking up a phone call, sending an email in. Like, you get mass communications.
We're going to take a quick break for our sponsor, and we're going to come back, hold that thought.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
We're back, New Cyber Frontier. Dr. Wanda Tisby-Kuzar conducting an interview with Sheree Ip, blockchain advisor. And what do you see as being most productive in today's society, or I should say globally, in the area of blockchain?
That's a tough one because everyone is building all these different applications in different industries. I say, it's not about what's most productive. It's about who's doing the hard yards to get where it needs to be. For example, we talked about medical earlier. For medical industries, that's going to be a long run. You're not going to be able to implement a, you know, EHR system to take over all the, you know, the paper legacy systems we have now. That's not going to happen overnight. So if you start that, let's say last year, if you make enough progress to have that, have your first trial in 3 years, that's, you're doing amazing already. And 5 years to get it into like one hospital out of, you know, in one state, that is, I think that is massive progress. So, you know, a 5-year mark for, you know, medical company, you know, is phenomenal. And I think for a lot of the bigger insurance is also another area that's quite tackled in blockchain. And for that, again, I imagine there'd be hurdles. And what you're looking at is getting a test done in to a very small arm, to a very small bunch of consumers, for insurance companies. So if we were talking about, you know, 2 years to get a pilot done, that would be great progress. Things like verification, because of blockchain's unique ability to verify when a certain transaction happened in a certain point in time, you have a document that hashed to the actual blockchain and you're able to pull that up. You know, that's something that can be done relatively simply. And I think, you know, having that up and running within like about, you know, 6 months to 1 year, that's really good progress. So I think the question is, when it comes to productivity, like, you know, progress of this technology being applied in industry, it's actually quite dependent on whichever industry we're talking about.
Okay. Can you share any short and or long range goals that you might have at this point in time?
For me, I think there's definitely a lot I want to do and achieve in the industry. I think one of the big key ones that I want to, you know, a long-term one would be shaping the regulation in Australia and, you know, making sure our policy efforts are consistent and apply as well to the whole of Australia and not just, you know, certain single entities, like having that unique voice. And that's something that we've done recently because there were another association called ADCA, and what we did in Blockchain Australia is that we actually decide to merge together. So two different advocacy groups for Australia, we decide to combine all our efforts. So now we have a massive board of over 10 people, but that's at least we're one united voice. So I think doing something like this long-term, ongoing is fantastic for me in being able to help, you know, Australian community shape that policy effort. Short-term for me, I guess, that's a bit of a tough one because I think they're all really long-term projects at this point in time. Mm-hmm. But I think for me would be seeing a lot more of the projects that I'm working on have a lot more development and a lot more consumer base and, you know, just getting it out there what blockchain technology can actually do for certain industries and how it can actually change a lot of the, I guess, outdated processes and models that we have today in business.
Okay. I'd like to ask if there are any opportunities for collaboration, how can someone who is interested contact you?
It's pretty easy for me by email. I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn. Very easy to contact.
Okay. Twitter, LinkedIn. Is there any particular name? Would it be under your name, Shariyip?
Just Shariyip. So Twitter's under my Twitter handle, Miss Dior Shari, long story behind that.
Okay.
And email's just ipshari@gmail.com.
Okay. Fantastic. I'd like to ask you to conclude with any promotion that you would like to utilize at this point in time so we can get a better idea of, you know, the focus of your company, your brand, and so forth.
Sure. I'm actually working on two very interesting projects at the moment. The first one's actually called Tune. So if you're into your music, electronic DJs, you might have heard of Gareth Emery. So he's one of the founders behind Tune. So basically the premise, the problem that Tune was solving in industry is that you look at the recorded music industry, it's a $16 billion industry each year, but the problem is, no one's really making a profit because everyone who's a middleman in the industry, your lawyers, I know people like me,
okay.
Your accountants, managers, everyone is taking a piece of the pie. So if you think about it, like, you know, streaming, mm-hmm. It's virtually, there's no cost to that. You record a song and then it just goes up on a database and it gets streamed. There's no actual, you know, don't need to print any physical CDs, hard copies, things like that anymore. So what Tune is actually doing is they've created a model where we actually have a platform that you as a complete copyright owner of your music, your content creation, you put up a song onto a platform, it gets streamed, you get paid in cryptocurrency notes. And each day you're able to see exactly what you are getting. Whereas for some streaming platforms, what you're seeing is, you know, you might, get paid 6 months to 2 years down the track and you have no idea what it is. There's no way of really knowing. But with this technology, like using blockchain technology in the background to do the accounting, everything is seamlessly and instantly done. And every day you can review how many notes you have.
Wow. You've really spoken my language. I am what we call a maker in residence. And I'm in the arts industry. That's an area of consulting that I do. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? You said that streaming, it sounds to me like it's going to broaden the access for those in the entertainment industry so their work can be listened to on a global scale and they can be ensured payment that's secure. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, so basically what happens, I guess, when the problem with all these big streaming companies is that they're spending all their money paying licenses. So you're paying licenses for, let's say, you know, Elton John, Beyonce, and all those people have really, big royalties, licenses, and fees. So then all the money that comes in is for these companies are spent paying all the big contracts, and there's nothing left for the little guys. So what our model is flipping it up on its head and saying, well, everyone's treated equal, provided you own your own content. You don't have copyright issues belonging to any other record company. You can put up there, and whoever plays your music, you get the money, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changed everything, and this also has opened up the doors for all, people who are creating music at home, electronic artists. A lot of them are bedroom DJs, but guess what? Now there's a platform for them to be heard and paid simultaneously. So this is a really interesting part about blockchain technology, because it has kind of like a built-in transparent accounting system. It's able to do all these really great things that previously is held on, you know, redundant databases and systems that are isolated, separate. So you've got like, you know, accounting system, streaming system. They're probably not even the same, you know, thing. They're linked in some way or form, but it's not efficient. And then the great thing about it, let's say me and you make a track, you do the vocals, I produce a track, and we decide 50-50 is our effort. We can do that. So each time someone plays a song, 50% goes to you, 50% goes to me in the revenue. Or let's say, you know, there's three of us and we divide it, you know, 30-30, and, you know, the remaining, and then all of us can split it accordingly. It doesn't have to be equal. But guess what? The brilliance behind it is that there's no one else in between taking a cut of the content creator's revenue. So it's still the early days now. So I think, I can't remember from memory how many songs we had on, but I think it's in close to the 40,000 range. I think we've been up and running for about a year now. And so, you know, it's just growing the platform, getting the adoption. So this one, the short to medium term goals is like, you know, helping, you know, people be aware and seeing this options out there, and this building it from there and developing out the mobile streaming app as well. So one of the many projects I'm working on.
It seems as if this supports the concept of what we call holacracy in business management, self-managed teams, or managing oneself. And I think that would be very attractive to people who are entrepreneurial. Can you tell me, are you aware of any particular companies that would be considered trailblazers in this area at this point? And if not, could you elaborate on how this could be an academic area of research?
There is literally so many companies. I don't think I can pick one, because they're across so many different industries. Okay. Academic research, I literally think that exists everywhere. If you're a developer, you're in, you know, information technology, there's a lot of researchers out there. If you're like me in the legal side, there's a lot just looking at how this will be characterized in laws, from, you know, anti-money laundering, consumer protection, compliance, you know, there's so many, not even including like, you know, the treating of money for like Bitcoin, which is mostly been written about quite a lot. If you're in a certain industry, you know, how this can work for you, for your business model application. It's just literally, you know, if you're in a certain industry, just basically, you know, go down this and just Google, even how can blockchain technology apply in my industry. It's applied in everything from medical, real estate, energy, music, you know, media, anything you can think of throughout me, there'll definitely be a company doing something somewhere, because everyone's understood how much this technology can basically change the world or the businesses that they're doing on a daily basis.
Okay. I'm a process person. And the first thing you said is, how can blockchain inform my industry? And I see that as a first step. What might be a second or third step, somebody who wants to get started?
Yep. So blockchain can basically change anything in any industry in the world if you want to apply it. But the second question is, do I really need blockchain? Because a lot of people just hype about it, talk about it at conference, everything's a brilliant idea, but is there a problem that needs to be solved in your industry? If there isn't, then why are you adding this extra step for no reason? Your current systems work fine. The key to it, the way I've always seen, and with everything I've dealt with my clients, is when you're looking at it, you look at the problem. What is the problem? And if that problem has to do, for example, fraud and transparency, then you've probably got a winner. Because what blockchain inherently can do is make sure that there's no bad actors, you know, when it comes to, you know, actual platform, and get rid of that and replace it with transparency, so you don't need to trust anyone. So what this is commonly referred to is as trustless technology, because you can use this technology and not having to worry about trusting a third party. So in the music scenario, you can use this technology knowing that it's on the ledger, you get paid according to how many streams there are. That doesn't change, it's built into the algorithm. But whereas you know, in real life, well, you're trusting you know, your manager, accountant, your lawyer to pay you what's correct from the company. But are they? Are they getting a cut on the inside? You don't know. So it eliminates that human element of needing trust, which is why it's so important and has been built on by a lot of different companies all over the world.
Wow. This is highly impactful. And, you know, we really want to thank you for sharing all of your expertise.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How do you propose that someone who wants to make a career change in this industry go about doing that?
Yeah, that's actually a question I get asked quite a lot, surprisingly. So for me, basically, I think this industry is really for people who think outside the box or who are frustrated, I guess. If you worked in the industry for a very long time and you're, for example, senior level, and you get quite frustrated because processes aren't being made more efficient or made, you know, resolving, like, you know, problems, and they're just being ignored, then this probably is an indication that, you know, this technology is for you, because you can go about creating whole new solution to the way of doing things, and you have the inside knowledge of how the current industry is broken.
This is awesome. We're going to go ahead and wrap the interview up, but yep. We just want you to give your final comments for your company.
Yep. Sure. So basically, so what we do at Blockchain Australia is basically doing advocacy efforts for our members. Truly, our platform was just on, you know, changing things on the music side. And, you know, it's still a very up and coming industry. And so you're going to see a lot more of these companies kind of going at it and, you know, getting more people onto their platforms and adopting and understanding what we can actually do together as a whole. So it's going to be a very interesting ride ahead.
Fantastic. This is Dr. Wanda Kuzar, New Cyber Frontier, concluding an interview with a very well-informed blockchain advisor, Ms. Sheree Ip.
Thanks, Wanda.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.